Hey.
How's it going?
Welcome back. Fourth and final hour of this extravaganza is underway, 9:16. It's J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Then we'll turn things over to the Steves and Kenny Walls. Take you through In the Box. Don't forget, tonight we've got women's tennis semifinal. Layla Annie Fernandez, unbelievable story she is at 7. NFL football immediately following. Kickoff is at 8:20. Buccaneers and Cowboys. A reminder again, our TSN 1200 football pick'em pool is back for another year. Presented by Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. Get your picks in online at tsn1200.ca. Free to enter. New game every week. Straight up, no spreads. We could not make it any easier for you to play this contest. So just go to the website at some point today. Make your picks. I don't know if we're going to count tonight's game or not because we're a little late getting out. Only started this yesterday. Want to make sure everybody's got an equal opportunity. Want to make sure we let enough people know.
Yeah.
So we're letting a third party handle that. But if you're at a computer right now or you're on your phone, you got time. Boom. Yeah. Just punch out tonight's game.
Yeah.
That's all you need to
do. Did you guys do your picks yet?
Simmer's already told you he's taking the Bucs tonight.
Yeah.
Straight up.
But did you guys make your picks yet?
Well, thanks to you guys and thanks to JR for continuously and reminding me this morning. Yeah. I have made my picks. They are locked in.
I don't feel like JR has made his picks yet.
I'm going to ruminate and it's immediately after the show.
Don't be that guy that forgets week one. Don't be that guy.
Who forgets week one?
Even AJ doesn't forget week one. He forgets week two and moving forward from that, but he will not miss week one.
What do you got tonight? Cowboys or Buccaneers?
I got the Bucs, of course.
Yeah. A lot of people think that have a lot more insight are going, yeah, Buccaneers could win this game in a blowout. Often when you see that, I kind of go, yeah, often the other thing happens. So people predicting a blowout. Yeah. Dallas got lots of firepower. I don't know about the defense. They got the new linebacker, Micah Parsons, first-round pick. Yeah. He's been flying all over training camp, apparently. See if what difference he makes in there. You know, the Buccaneers, we talked about with Kenny Albert, they got all the starters returning. They should score points. But I think Dallas is going to score points, too. This has the potential of, I think, being a reasonably close game and a high-scoring game.
Yeah. Score points with and without Dak? Or is the potential of that offense all just...
He's going to play.
He's going to play, but how long will he last this season? Will he last the entire season?
Mr. Dark Clouds.
Yeah. I just asked this because
long will he last?
We had this come up in our fantasy draft with Christian McCaffrey. I had the first overall pick. Mm. There's no way in heck I was touching him because, you're going to get a good 5-6 weeks from him. And you know this better than anybody else, Mr. Traded for McCaffrey last year. I want somebody that can rack up some points the entire season, not just the first third.
I made a last year in my family pool. I mean, I had the best team. And I made I'm going to push it over the top by trading for Christian McCaffrey move in the middle of the year. He played one game for me. One. I lost the final by 2 points, having to dress some bum I found on the waiver wire. I was the only person in history that if you played in a fantasy football final, which last week was the second to last weekend of the regular season.
Yeah.
If you remember on Christmas Day, remember Alvin Kamara scoring, was it 5 or 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
One of the most incredible games of all time.
Yeah.
I had Alvin Kamara.
Oh, wow.
It was the first game of that weekend. I had already spent the money that I was going to win in the pool.
Wow.
I ended up with... I don't remember how many points. A record-breaking total and somehow lost the final because I had some stiff because I didn't have Christian McCaffrey.
But that's the worry, right? That's the worry with Dak, and he's going to have to prove it here because all the reports and the whispers and that through training camp, I mean, I'm not putting a whole lot of...
Yeah. Wow. And I don't know the fine game of spit pigskin very well, but first of all, Dallas's defense, anytime I hear about a rookie running all over the place during training camp playing against other rookies that have been cut, and their defense on Tampa, I think, are just going to smoke Dak Prescott. I'm not a Zeke fan anyway. JR, and again, I mean that sincerely. I'm not just saying it against you, but I kind of feel the whole blowout thing as well. You've had a quarterback that didn't play the whole year, and you're coming into Thursday night against Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's going to be a deer in headlights, but it's intriguing because I was a part last year for me when I watched Tampa. I was like, holy moly, they get after the defense was the part that jumped out at me more than the offense. So we'll see.
I'm going 35-28.
Okay.
Buccaneers.
Okay. Well,
that's
my
call. Okay. Speaking of Tampa, and something came up when Kenny Albert, just reminded me when you talked about Tampa last year. And we're talking about Tony Romo, how much you love Tony Romo. Yeah. Remember when they played
Kansas City? Oh, no, it was Kansas City.
They lost the game. It was in Tampa. It was about the 12th game or so of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost and did not look very good in losing the game.
No, no.
And Tony Romo said at the end of the broadcast, I think they fell to 5-7 with that loss.
Yeah.
And I give him all kinds of credit for it.
Oh, man.
He said, I think we're going to see this team, talking about the Buccaneers, in the Super Bowl.
These teams back together is what he said.
Yeah. But you know, in Kansas City, everybody, they were the favorite in the AFC at that point.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were 5-7. They just lost at home with four games to go in the season.
Yeah.
Like, to have the you-know-what to say, I think we're going to see this team in the Super Bowl.
I know.
Like, that was impressive when that came true.
And I watched Air during the year. I didn't think they were going to beat New Orleans in the playoffs. I mean, they got schooled both times against them in the regular season. But would also, and I'm sure this would add to it, because Tony Romo is very polarizing if you hate the Cowboys. I mean, there's no doubt that he would never in a million years say anything bad about Tom Brady either. So that kind of lended even further to his crush. So I don't know. At the same time, would that cause any issue in the box with Jim Nantz or getting jealous of that? Or I guess Jim Nantz used to be in love with Troy Aikman. Or no, it's Joe Buck who's in love with Troy Aikman. Okay, so we're good to go there.
The Hall of Famer.
Because I don't want certain guys getting nervous. If Troy was doing that to Tom Brady, I think Joe Buck would be a little bit distraught of not getting the love from the future, from the Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
As he points over to him.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Who do you think of these four has the best chance of winning the Super Bowl this year? Chiefs, Bills, Buccaneers, Rams. Vegas has those four with the best odds. We're limited to four. That's why we went with those four.
Yeah.
Right now, Chiefs lead the vote, 44%. 28% are on the Bills.
Yeah.
So collectively, I'm looking at 72% think the team that wins is going to come out of the AFC.
Okay.
23% are on the Buccaneers, and just 4% are on the Los Angeles Rams. Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. So, preceding our coverage of the NFL tonight, we've got, I think a lot of people are going to be tuned in that maybe wouldn't normally be tuned in to a semifinal at the U.S. Open. But we've got Canadian rooting interests at heart here. Leyla Annie Fernandez has been the story of the U.S. Open. I don't even think on the women's side, just overall. She has taken over as the sweetheart of the crowd that probably had no idea who she even was when this tournament began. She's been outstanding. She's got her semifinal match tonight at 7 o'clock, taking on this time the number 2 seed. So she's knocked off 2 top 5 seeds already. She's going to have to do it a third time, potentially, to get to the final. The match we'll have for you here on TSN 1200. So Ottawa's Gabby Dabrowski, who won her match in women's doubles to get to the semifinal last night, was talking yesterday. She was asked in her media availability about what's going on with Canadian tennis right now. The story came out that, did you see this, that Canada has become the first country, is it ever, to have 6 different players from their country qualify for a Grand Slam, any of the Slam, semifinals within a 10-year window.
Oh,
Canada,
wow,
of all countries, is the first team to do this.
Really? Wow.
So, Jeannie Bouchard, Milos Raonic, Bianca Andreescu, Denis Shapovalov, Felix Auger-Aliassime, and now Leyla Annie Fernandez.
Yeah.
3 women, 3 men. Think about just by their last names what this says about this country. And then I'm going to play a clip from Gabby Dabrowski about this. On the women's side, Bouchard, Andreescu, Fernandez. On the men's side, Raonic, Shapovalov, Auger-Aliassime. Other than Bouchard, which you would hear the name Bouchard, you would go, that's a typical French-Canadian name.
Yeah.
Every other of those names are names you would not typically associate with Canadian heritage. So Gabby Dabrowski spoke about that yesterday, about what it means to be a Canadian tennis player.
The most beautiful thing about Canada is that when you play for Canada, you actually play for hundreds of countries. So we have the privilege of coming from a place that has given other countries an amazing opportunity at building a life of success, a life of safety, education, inclusivity. So I feel like I'm lucky to have grown up in Canada, but I'm equally as lucky for Canada to have had the policies that they do that allow immigrants to come in and work hard and make something of themselves.
How about that answer?
Yeah,
that's pretty
yeah.
darn polished right there
yeah.
from Ottawa's own. But really, when you yeah. think about what she had to say there and the opportunities that arise, because have, I'll call it a somewhat open door policy to immigration in this country that many other countries do not have. And it is evidenced by the success that she talks about from now five of the six semifinalists in slams from this country are all people whose heritage is not from here.
Yeah, well, and again, that funny part, JR, no newsflash historically. I mean, you were of Dutch heritage. I was adopted, I assume English. But it is all just historically is that there's difference in the names. There's just nothing different in what's happened, right? It's just a different wave. I mean, first, of course, we had all the Ukrainians and going back even further, French and British. And then in the 80s, you had a different wave, right? You had a lot of people from Iran, the Middle East. You get into the fall of communism to the Eastern Bloc. It's really historical, and I don't know the Ecuador background for the Fernandez family, but that's what you really just trace back is what era was it and what type of immigration has come in here. And it's really, really a cool story. And you look at the same on the soccer and the basketball side, the sport that is missing for the most part, at least in modern day names and immigration, is hockey. But the diversity in all the other sports is it pretty much matches what's happened in tennis, and that's why it's such a great story.
Yeah, but I think it's one thing to say we open the doors to a lot of immigration. It's another thing to allow not only to open doors, but offer opportunity, which I think is what she talks about right there.
Oh, for sure.
It's not like we're opening our doors and then when you come here, you get shuffled away into the corner and you're never to be heard from again, right? Yeah, you can come to Canada, but that's it. We offer people that come here the opportunity to succeed. I think that's the really important point of what she of what she's talking about. And it's not just about athletics.
No.
It's represented by what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But just overall, when you come to this country and whether you come with a lot of education from whatever country you came from or no education, you do have the opportunity, by and large, to lift yourself up and make something of yourself. And we just see it represented by the names of the players that are now representing our country so well in the game of tennis.
Yeah, very much so. And again, call it the Canadian dream. That's the American dream. And gosh, I look to, and again, it's probably suppressed in other ways, but from a sports standpoint, I mean, that's where when you look around the world and shocked when you watch the World Cup of Soccer and see some of the key countries, even moving into Italy now, how many people have dual passports. You would have thought Italy back in the day, all Italy. I don't know how the Dutch team is, but when you look through France, and I think every player on the team has a dual passport, and then now on the English side, you know, people that have immigrated to different countries for different opportunities and are using sport for that vehicle. Like I say, it's awesome. And like I said, it's kind of sad on the hockey side that we really quite simply have not seen that. Our immigration has actually come in the wave of players trained in other countries that then move here to play in the National Hockey League.
It is. You're true. If we want to kind of,
it is true.
If we move the conversation to that and the other sports and, I mean, Alphonso Davies is a great example, right? Came here as a young child from, I believe, his background. Well, he came from a refugee camp, but I believe is originally born in Ghana, I believe it is, and so had a choice.
And moving to Edmonton,
To where he ended up playing for nationally, and he became a star player.
Yeah.
We just don't see that, and that's what hockey. You know, if we move the goalpost now to hockey, that's the issue that Hockey Canada is dealing with, and why they have tried. And I don't go to the rinks as much as I used to see whether, from a visual point of view, the faces of what you see underneath the masks has changed very much. But by and large, it continues to be a white person sport in this country.
I agree. I love going to Walkley Arena, JR, because I think you do see that. But overall, just look at the sheer numbers. Look at the face of the National Hockey League. And also even going back historically, look at some of our best athletes. I mean, our entire track and field base is that of Jamaican descent, right? And Glenroy Gilbert, are they from Trinidad Tobago? You know, I mean, hey, kind of trace Lennox Lewis initially. Lennox is from Jamaica, is he not?
I'm not positive.
Yeah, he is Jamaican. So
had the great British accent.
Somehow picked that up after he left Canada. But no, as I said, and from a hockey standpoint, it's only going to get tougher, JR, because now, and this was always the issue, if you were growing up in Canada and you pointed to heroes, and I can't remember who said it last week, if it was Christine Sinclair or who was pointing to, no, it must have been somebody from the Canadian hockey team. as a young girl, you need a hero. Well, you need a hero that's not always Wayne Gretzky. You know, I mean, now when you look at these sports from a basketball standpoint, it's no longer, well, I might just play basketball. No, I'm going to look and see that there's guys in the NBA. When I say about I want to be a soccer player, it's no longer just I want to be a domestic. Hey, wow, I have one of the best soccer players in the world playing for one of the premier franchises in Bayern Munich. Now I've got tennis players. Well, there's lots of reasons where you don't have to feel like, oh, if I've come to Canada and I want to feel cool, I'm going to go to Tim Hortons and get a case of Molson Canadian and go to a hockey game. You know, there's just lots of other avenues that I think, unfortunately for hockey, probably the ship has sailed in some senses.
Yeah. A couple of texts come in at 12-1200. It's amazing what can happen when you just give people hope. That comes from Phil. And from Unsigned, they can't play hockey in Canada because it's too expensive. Comes from Unsigned.
It very much is. There's no doubt. In the United States, I use different terms for it, but for sure it is. And I'll also say from there, I do not remember, JR, and I don't know how it was here in Ottawa, I think about Alfie, I did not ever remember, because none of them golfed, there was never a European hockey player that wasn't a good tennis player. Like, tennis, as far as kind of an origin of it, and certainly from a European standpoint, very, very popular sport, right? You know, as a mm-hmm. participation thing. So just remember, the guys always say, let's get a tennis match going. They were always out there kind of part of their training.
All right, thoughts on any of that? Always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. But I saw some pretty enlightening thoughts from Gabby Dabrowski. She's not only a great tennis player, but very well-spoken and polished as well.
Yeah.
Okay, she'll play her semifinal match, by the way, tomorrow in women's doubles, as Canada now with three semifinalists at the U.S. Open. 9:32, we'll come back with much more. So continue along. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau.
I can't quite do it. John Facenda. The voice there.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau.
Were they the ones that did all the NFL film share and owned all the rights to it?
Ed Sable, I believe, started it. And then his son Steve took it over. Yeah. And I mean, you talk about all the reasons. We don't need to go off on another NFL thing. But one of the reasons the NFL betting is a huge one. But the other is just the how they shoot the games and the retrospectives from the week and the sound. You know, they do the sound and, they allow cameras on the sidelines picking up what the coaches and players are saying. All of that stuff. It's just... Whoever sat down and thought of how can we best market our sport, they all seem to have gone to the NFL back in the day because they have done everything pretty much perfect as far as marketing their game goes.
And you just wonder from a growth standpoint, Jer, it's almost a reverse. A time, hard to believe, the CFL was considered to be the better league, better pay, and you had the AFL and NFL right before they merged. But I guess it would almost be thanked by college football, right? Because I would just say back to 60s and 70s, college football was on a completely different level where the pros, like the NBA, was almost embarrassing once you turn pro, right? It was just not the same, not the same cachet.
I have seen fan surveys from the United States before. What's your favorite sport? Okay. This is fairly recently.
Yeah.
NFL football, number one. Second, college football.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, come on. You can't have two footballs back-to-back. Pick one or the other.
And third would be NBA, and then fourth would be...
Or what, high school football? What about third high school football?
Oh, it's right there, Hammer, really. I mean, there's...
If you asked on a Friday, it would be.
Well, it is. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's your thing. So it is no surprise in how it goes hand-in-hand with the marketing of the sport to the video game to familiarity. And we both joked and tweeted out on the weekend, JR. And I think I tweeted out Wisconsin singing, and then what did you tweet out? Do you remember what the game was?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia.
Theirs is a legendary... Like, entrance to the stadium, enter Sandman.
But jumping jeepers, like to watch that. How could you not be impressed and see 100,000 kids having an absolute blast? And they say the college experience is awesome for the athletes. Well, looks like the students are having a pretty good time too.
Absolutely. Best time of your life. 9:39. All right, Hammer. Blue Jays making the playoffs?
Yes.
Or, sorry.
Making the wild card?
Wild card. I don't consider the wild card to be the playoffs.
It's a game outside of the regular season.
It's not the playoffs.
A team gets eliminated. It's a playoff game. But I'll just play by your rules.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to make the wild card game. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking that the Red Sox are going to be the team that is going to be the odd team out here.
Really?
And that it'll be the Yankees and the Blue Jays in the wild card match.
If you're the Blue Jays right now, we talked about this earlier this morning. You have one game wild card. Yankees are going to throw Garrett Cole. Not much doubt about that, unless his hammy's still hurt. Or unless they have to pitch him on a regular season finale just to make the wild card. But it'd be Garrett Cole for the Yankees. And the Blue Jays would not start Ryu, in your opinion,
no,
if they could do it up the way they wanted.
No, sir. I'm strutting out with the tight pants of Robbie Ray. That's what I am doing. And Robbie Ray has jumped on this tight pants thing
because
He's got T-shirts out now with his name on it. And the A in Ray are his pants. His pants are making the
really?
A. These super tight pants are making the A, and I've got to get my hands on one of these. But
on his pants? On his super tight pants?
No, I just want the T-shirt. Oh,
the T-shirt.
I don't want my hands on his super tight pants.
Well, listen, you're a big fan.
But he has a nice bum. But he has a nice bum, right?
Oh, yeah, he fills those pants in nicely.
He looks athletic. What was Hammer, and I just saw a glance on social media. He and his wife and three boys were walking in a picture where it just showed their backs, all with Ray jerseys on. Does this tie anything into what you were just talking about?
Is this the T-shirt or the jersey?
Well, it just was...
Because if it's a jersey, they're just wearing their dad's and husband's shirt.
Okay, but strangely enough, it wasn't at a Jays game. I actually thought it was the field in Detroit.
No, this is a T-shirt he's got his name on it.
Okay.
He's obviously jumped on the bandwagon, and the A are his tight pants. But that is if I'm the Blue Jays, that is the arm I'm going with. In a do-or-die game. He has just been lights out. We're talking about coming off of the August Player of the Year and the Player of the Month, and then he was the Player of the Week as well. That's the man. He is just knocking batters down and out.
And I always forget this, and I ask this question every year. The wild card winner faces the team with the best record, or if it's in your division, then you don't face them?
I think that's done and over with now. I think you face the team with the best record. The team with the best record will face the lowest ranked team remaining. So you'd be looking at, again, the Rays and Jays.
Yeah, because the Rays are up by, I'm looking at the division leaders right now. Astros 81 in the West, White Sox 80 in the Central, and the Rays at 88. So they're gonna win the division, and they're gonna have the best record. So you would get the Yankees in a one gamer, and then you'd have to face the Rays.
It'd be the AL East beating themselves up in the early goings.
How'd that go last year when they faced the Rays in the play? Oh,
they were close games. They were close. It was the offense that didn't show up, and some defensive issues as well.
They were also just happy to be there last year. Hammer, were they not?
Well, it was the expanded playoffs, right?
Well, so, the whole season was like, wow, this is a celebration. How young you are, you're on the road the whole time. I mean, the expectations overnight and kind of to the retool, which, hey, full marks to them. I think this is different where, and especially if Simeon, is it Simeon?
Yeah.
If Simeon's going to walk out the door and you have a pitcher you traded for, JR, that only has another year left, I'm kind of thinking they're looking at, hey, this is a window here where, no, just being close isn't enough. Let's actually take a run at this the next couple of years.
You have to. You have to right now. And if it's between Robbie Ray and Marcus Simeon, I'm always going to side with the pitcher. I'm always going to try to do whatever I can to sign pitching because pitching is what wins championships. Everybody knows that. The Jays have got themselves enough offense, and we're talking about an offense right now without even Kevin Biggio in the lineup. Not that he has produced very much this year, but that is a simple supplement there for Simeon if he decides to walk on a really large free agent deal.
So Jays will go for the sweep in New York tonight versus the Yankees. They won again last night 6-3. Guerrero had another home run, an absolute rocket off of Aroldis Chapman. That was off the bat and in the stands. In a nanosecond. All right, so that's tonight, and they're now a game and a half back of New York for the second wild card spot. It was a big day yesterday. Canadians again. Baseball Hall of Fame finally held its 2020 induction ceremony on September the 8th of 2021. Of course, canceled last year because of the pandemic. So Derek Jeter goes into Cooperstown. Ted Simmons was voted in by the Veterans Committee, and the third member of the Hall of Fame class was Canada's own Larry Walker. He becomes the second Canadian after Fergie Jenkins to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, longtime Montreal Expo reflected upon his time as a Canadian playing for one of his country's home teams.
I'll always be grateful that the Montreal Expos took a chance on me and gave me an opportunity to play baseball professionally. To all the Expo fans and people of Montreal, it was a great honor to put on the Expo uniform and represent my home country. I enjoyed many years in Montreal, none of them as good as that 1994 team. We all lost out that year from the work stoppage, and nobody knows what would have happened that year. But I still imagine what it would have been like to bring a World Series to Quebec. To the fans hoping for their team to return to Montreal, I join you in hoping before long that Major League Baseball returns to your beautiful city.
Nice. And today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Not quite.
Yeah.
That.
I just, guys, as well, we're trying to talking about people and finding their way in sports. And did he not go to Regina Pat's training camp, got cut, came home, decided to throw the hockey bag down the stairs, and then got called out to go and report to baseball? Like, this is a late bloomer, JR, right? Not the path that you would have expected to go onto the Hall of Fame. Like, it's really cool to see his backstory. And for Expos fans, an open wound there. Very unfortunate that the 94 season was taken away.
Larry Walker, 5-time All-Star, 1997 National League Most Valuable Player, 7-time Gold Glove winner, 3-time Silver Slugger, 3 batting titles, 98, 99, 2001.
Yeah.
Not a bad resume.
No, and if you guys want an opportunity, great documentary, Man
versus Machine. I still haven't. If JR and I come over to your place and sit down and watch this, maybe we eat some of JR's tomatoes that I forgot yesterday.
Yeah.
We watch this documentary. Will that then put to rest?
Yeah, I will. It was just,
you always reference it.
It was just a big deal that he was mad because a machine beat him for the
Jacques Villeneuve for Athlete of the Year.
For Athlete of the Year. Yes. Yeah, so that's the whole. And just going back to see the numbers, but I really do. His story, Hammer, you're around baseball all the time. Like, to pick
it's amazing.
To pick it up the way he did, like, didn't he have to drive down to, like, Florida or something? And then they joined him in kind of the instructional league and said, hey, let's take a flyer on the kid at 17 years old?
I'd imagine I would know that if I watched Man versus Machine. I have not yet,
okay.
But I'm sure that's included in that. Yeah. No, I mean, he spent some time here with the Lynx. Somebody tweeted out a photo of him in a Lynx jersey and that. I'll be honest, I had no idea that he spent some time in Ottawa, but it was a really cool photo.
I wondered if they gave the guy the jackets because they all looked like, because Gary Carter was in one of them. What the hell was Gary Carter doing with the Lynx hammer?
Well, he may have been maybe a hitting coach or something of that time, right?
No, that's why I think they gave the guys the jackets put on. What's also cool about Larry is he still has his original suit from when he was with the Expos, and he wore it to the Hall of Fame. He's such a simple guy, JR, right, in his speech. Like, how can you not like him? He's Canadian all the way, and he also, doesn't he have a little Canadian tattoo action?
Yes,
like,
he does.
Yeah, he's always been super proud about being Canadian. And, hey, in a sport like baseball, that's, hey, not many. I'm trying to think, growing up, my big thing to cheer for, JR, would have been Fergie Jenkins and was it Terry Poole?
Yep.
We didn't go much deeper than that, hey?
No, it's a very shallow pool of Canadian baseball players, for sure.
Nice.
In any way whatsoever. And they've mitigated what's happened with the ball in Colorado. I think they store it a little bit differently, and I believe they expanded the field a little bit as well. But does any of the stats that he put together in a lengthy career, including that MVP season in 1997 in Colorado, in any way, does that detract from his what he did over his career?
Well, JR, I must step up once again as the expert on Larry Walker. If you watch the documentary,
Man versus Machine,
his splits on the road were better than at home.
Okay.
That was a big argument at the time, Hammer, I believe. But
nobody wanted to listen to that argument.
But that was also some of the argument, not even for that JR, was about his Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah, just his career.
It really slowed him down. And people said, well, now go look. And then what was also really interesting, and they tried to clear up the myth about, first of all, he and Randy Johnson are good friends. They had, I think, come through the system in Montreal. The time he stepped out of the batter's box with Randy Johnson, people kind of started also throwing out a myth how he wasn't great against. If you look at his numbers against hitters and even Randy Johnson, Randy said, you know, Larry would probably hit me better than anybody in baseball. And, you know, that was neat to go through, where there were a series of kind of myths that had been floated out that were not accurate whatsoever.
So, big day for Canada yesterday as we have a second Canadian into Cooperstown. And who will follow? Who will be the next? Any names jump to mind? Canadian.
Has a pitcher still? Or will Joey Votto?
Joey Votto, I think, will have a good opportunity.
Okay, and
he's got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Did our good friend in Atlanta get hurt again, Sorokin?
Or, well, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really young.
Yeah, and he was hurt He didn't play at all this year.
Oh, okay.
He didn't was play here last prior year either, to right? the season, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And anybody else we got cooking? Anything good?
Geez, I'm trying to think off the top of my mind other ones that you'd think.
Elisa Jay's after the failed experiment of the fellow they shipped out for Donaldson have decided to stop with this nonsense that we need Canadians on the Blue Jays too. I'm so thrilled. Even when Riel Cormier was being forced onto the Expos roster and other players back in the day, it's like, I really don't care where the players come from. I just want them to be good.
We adopt them as Canadians anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, 9:50. We'll take a break and back with a final segment as we continue along on a busy Thursday. We've got tennis. We've got football for you coming up tonight right here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
So I just jumped on an anonymous website, just Googled best Canadian baseball players ever.
Yeah.
It's a ranking. Larry Walker's number one. Number okay. two, Joey Votto.
Okay.
Number three, Fergie Jenkins. Number four, there's a name we didn't discuss, Justin Morneau.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
a Hall of, you know, a very good player in his day, but yeah. definitely yeah. not Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Met his dad in Did Vancouver, you? Yes, when we were out there for the Little League Canadian National World Series.
Nice. Good name drop there.
He was fantastic.
And someone just texted in. His name comes up as fifth. Freddie Freeman, who, yeah, of course, yeah. He's of, I believe, dual nationality, correct? And chose to play for Canada yeah. at the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, his mom is Canadian. Yeah. I think dad American. And yeah. yes, he, and I think his mom passed away, and she had so much pride being Canadian. It rubbed off on him, and he wanted to honor his mother by representing Canada at the Baseball World Classic.
And am I right in thinking she unfortunately passed away from skin cancer, and the reason that he wears the arm sleeves in all weather is to protect in honor of what
you
happened
could,
to his mother?
Oh, okay.
I believe
right.
that's
yep.
the story on that
nice.
One. They have listed Vladdy Guerrero Jr. as Canadian because he was born in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's Canadian / Dominican.
Yeah.
He is certainly on a, it's early days, career trajectory that
oh,
would
yeah.
suggest...
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, but if I think forward now to 20 years or so when his bust is going into Cooperstown,
yeah.
Is Vladdy Guerrero, first of all, has he learned to speak English or does he still have an interpreter at that point? Because
yeah.
his dad, well, it's just a way to avoid having to answer questions from the media by claiming never to speak English.
It's
well,
smart.
Probably right? speaks better French than he does English, right?
Yeah. Will he go in as a proud Canadian?
Yeah, probably
no.
not.
Played for the Blue Jays
yeah.
and may play for them his entire yeah. career. Maybe that will change his mind eventually.
Yeah. Where's the Terry Poole of?
Well, let me keep going down the list then because it might be a while before I get there. Number seven on the list, born in Chelsea,
yeah.
Russell Martin.
Okay.
Or born in Chelsea or grew up in Chelsea or spent some time in Chelsea.
Born in Chelsea.
God, that's a good one. Totally forgot about
Eric Gagne.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're out of guys that will be ever considered for the Hall of Fame, but Eric Gagne had a couple of years, incredible save numbers, right?
Record-breaking
with the Dodgers.
Years. Yeah.
And did it clean.
Jason Bay. Now we're going into some.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. Ryan Dempster.
Yep, all over the
Cubs.
Place.
Okay.
The
Fantastic.
Big Maple, James Paxton, who's gone back to Seattle, right? Spent one year in New York, then went back to Seattle.
Has he played at all this year?
I think he's been hurt through the no-hitter
yeah.
at the Blue Jays.
Okay, that's right.
Okay. Right?
And then was with the Yankees.
Simmer your man, Mr. Soroka.
Okay, yeah.
John Axford.
Ooh.
We're going old school here, Tip O'Neill. Here we go. Matt Stairs.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Terry Poole clocks in Simmer at number 16.
Nice. The pride of some small town in Saskatchewan.
It says here, I believe it's Melville. Melville,
okay.
Saskatchewan
nice.
For Terry Poole. And Paul Quantrill's name comes up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember him.
Good reliever there.
He had a little Jays action, did he not, Hammer?
Yeah, he's got a really good son, too.
And we'll leave it on, Corey Koski's name is in here, and we'll leave it on a local note. Eric Bedard comes in at number 22.
God, absolutely.
All time.
Should have been a little higher than that, eh?
Pride of Navin.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with Eric Bedard around the Ball Diamonds two
Hammer.
Summers ago. Well, I say hanging out. He hung out in his really nice truck. And I was in a lawn chair on the diamond. Well, besides
that's
the diamond.
That's really you and him bonding.
That was it. Just
Dude,
nice.
You cruised in the minivan. He looked over. You had a big spittoon in. Hey, darts. What's going on, bro?
He had a beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. Not a talkative fella.
No, he very much keeps to himself.
Yeah, that's why he keeps the dog close.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know if he still lives there. I remember Marcotte did a feature about his place out in Navin. He built deep into the woods But I think he's still there.
Oh,
right?
When he was throwing,
His son is playing, right? Yeah. That's why
stepson. Yeah,
stepson.
But when he was tossing and Terry was doing the interview, that was so cool. It's right out of a movie. Hey,
Remember, invited us to the house
middle
barbecue.
Middle of the winter, -40, and he's in there throwing, though. I thought that was awesome footage.
That was said with a tinge of bitterness that there was no invite.
I'm thinking end of the year party. Let's go, Biggie. I mean, you can handle all these lads.
It may have stopped and started his pondering that when you hit him up with, hey, Big E.
Hey, Big E.
Yeah.
You don't think that? He didn't respond to it either.
Can't speak for him, actually. All right. That'll put a wrap on the show for us. Thank you very much for listening and all the feedback today. Always love that. We can turn things over to the Steves and Kenny Walls take you through in the box in the next 4 hours. Lee Creech sits in for AJ today, who's on his way to Vancouver for the Red Blacks game on Saturday.